Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Chof Ches, and we are at the two dots, about 10 lines down from the top of Chof Ches, with Aleph. Today we're learning Lili Nishmas Benjamin Weiser, Yisachar Beirish Ben Shmuel Tzvi. All the Neshamas we learn for should have an Aliyah. Now, we are quoting the Mishnah. The Mishnah told us, now the Gears of the Mishnah is a Chachabamim Af Miforar Vizor Vechule. We had a whole discussion about whether the word Af is included or not when we did the Mishnah on Daf Chof Aleph, so we won't repeat that discussion here now. We'll just keep the gears that we have, which the Chachamim say that you are allowed to go destroy the chametz, not by Sreifa like Rabbi Yehuda said, but you can go and disperse it. You can go and the fire means to make it into crumbs, to break it up, and vizora, and then go and disperse it, throw it into the wind, and then we'd said also into the yam. Now, the Gemara is going to ask us, when we said mefire, was mefire qualifying both the first and second statements, the wind and into the yam, or is it only qualifying the first statement? And we'll bring a Gemara in Avodah Zarah. This is the exact same question in regards to an Avodah Zarah. So let's start. The Gemara begins the Bible. They ask in the base medrash the following Shaila. Hechi Kamar, how do you understand our Mishnah? What did our Mishnah really say? When it said Mefarer Vizora L'Ruach, and then it said Umatul Layam, did it mean also Umefarer Umeitil Layam? Did it mean to do both? You have to break it up. You have to go and make it into small pieces, so when you throw it in the wind, it will get dispersed all over the place, and when you break it up into little pieces, you can throw it into the yam, so it won't be able to be recovered. So Mefarer goes on both. Mefarer Vizora L'Ruach, Umefarer Umeitil Layam. Or Dilma means no, only the first part. Mefarer Vizora L'Ruach. When you're throwing it into the wind, because the wind could blow it away, and you'd have a nice piece of chametz blowing someplace, and somebody could pick it up and eat it, that you need to break it up. Mefarer, to break it up into little pieces, and then throw it into the wind. However, when you're throwing it into the water, Abo Meitil, Layam, then it's enough to just throw it in Be'enei, to even throw it in solid. You don't have to crumble it up. So that's what the Gemara asks us over here in regards to the chametz. So the Gemara says, Utznan Nami, we have exactly the same question in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, which says, Nami Gabi Avodah Zarah, Ki Agab. The same exact question is asked over there. When you're destroying an Avodah Zarah. So Rav Yossi Omer, Rav Yossi says, you have to go be Shochek Vizore L'Ruach, and it says, O Meitil Layam, or throw the Avodah Zarah, crumble it up, and throw it into the air, or go and throw it into the yam. Now when it says shochei, shochei means literally grind. Shchika samamon, we have the famous gzera that you're not allowed to take medications on Shabbos because you may come to grind the various medications and herbs up. So therefore, shochei means to crumble up or grind and throw it into the wind. And then it says, oh, meitel yam. Did he mean over there the same thing that we asked over here in regards to the chametz? So they asked over there the same question. What exactly did Rav Yossi mean when he said this in the Mishnah there? Shochei vizora l'ruach v'shochei kumeitel yam. Do you have to do crushing, grinding it up, whether you're throwing it in the wind or throwing it into the yam? Or maybe not. Oduma, only you have to crush it. Shochei vizora l'ruach. You have to go crumble it up when you're throwing it into the wind. But if you're just throwing the Avodah Zarah into the yam, Avo Meitil Yam, it's enough be'enei to throw it in there because nobody's going to be able to recover it because it's going to be in the water. So the Gemara says we have these two questions, and we're going to have a machlokas between Rabbah and Rav Yosef how to answer them. So I'm a Rabbah. Rabbah says, Mistabra, it makes the most sense to me that Avodah Zarah Deliyam Hamelach Ka'ozla. When we're talking about the yam in regards to Avodah Zarah, we're talking about throwing it into the Dead Sea, the Yam Hamelach. And Tosos explains, in Dibra Maskel, Chometz Delishar Naharos, that when you deal with chametz, it's talking about throwing it into all different rivers and bodies of water over the world. Because Tosa says, Lo motzinu sheyashone b'shum makum, it doesn't say any place in Shas, gabi chametz, in regards to chametz, that you have to bedavka throw it into the Yam HaMelach. As opposed to Avogabi Avodah Zarah. By Avodah Zarah, it specifically says, Ashikom Mechamaduch, and it says in many places, albeit not Beferish there in Avodah Zarah that we just read from Rav Yossi, but in general it says there, Ki Hai Dileel, Yolich Hano Liyam HaMelech, like we've had previously, that you have to throw the Hano into the Yam HaMelech. That's because travelers didn't go on the Yam HaMelech, and something thrown into the Yam HaMelech would not be picked up by travels on a boat. Hilchach, therefore, Tosa says, Stam Yam, the Tani Gabi Avodah Zarah. When you're dealing with throwing something into the yam in regards to Avodah Zarah, like here in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah that we just quoted from Rav Yossi, Hevi Yam HaMelech, it refers to the Yam HaMelech. However, in other situations, such as by Chometz, it doesn't necessarily mean the Yam HaMelech, and that's what Rabbah answers. By Avodah Zarah, the Yam HaMelech, Koazla, Lo Boy Shrika. You don't have to grind it up, crush it in the Avodah Zarah when you're throwing it into the Yam HaMelech, because boats don't go over there and nobody's going to find it, and therefore it's no difference if it's Be'enei, it's going to not be found, and you're going to essentially have gotten rid of the Avodah Zarah. However, chometz, which is not specifically being thrown into the Yam HaMelech, it's thrown into all places all over the world. Chometz l'shar naharos ka'azil. So there, if you just throw in a piece of bread into the river, somebody could find this piece of bread and buy pira. Therefore, you have to go crush it up. You have to go grind it up, crumble it up, if you want this bread to be destroyed. And that's what you have to do with the chametz. So Rabbi says there's a distinction between Avodah Zarah, which you can throw directly into the Yam HaMelech, as opposed to chametz, if you're throwing it into the Yam, which is not by definition the Yam HaMelech, you better crush it up, you better crumble it up. Rav Yossi says the opposite. Omelir Rav Yosef, Ad Rabba, if chomistabra. Rav Yossi says the opposite is, in fact, more logical. Tosa says the lashon of ifcha is a little bit funny, but it's not exactly the opposite, but in any event, it means Rav Yossi disagrees. Rav Yossi says, no. In my opinion, it's more logical to say the following. Avodah Zarah delo mimisa. Avodah Zarah, which isn't mimisa. Rashi explains mimisa. He actually doesn't have the yud in it. He has mimasa. He says, ein hamayim mimaso so. The water doesn't dissolve it. The water doesn't dissipate it. So therefore, by Avodah Zarah, you're going to throw in Avodah Zarah into the yam. It's going to stay there for who knows how long. It's not going to get broken up. So therefore, he says, by Avodah Zarah, bedavka boy shrika. You better go grind it up. You better go and destroy the Avodah Zarah, because the yam is going to stay intact. However, chametz, which is going to be mimis, the mimis is going to go and get all dissipated in the water. It's going to break up. It's going to get dissolved in the water. So in this situation, lo boy pira. You don't have to go break it up. You throw a piece of bread into the water, it's going to become disintegrated little pieces of bread without you crumbling it. So you don't have to crumble it when you throw it into the water. So we have these two different opinions of Rabbi and Rav Yosef as to which one needs to be crushed and which one doesn't need to be crushed. Now, Gemara says, Tani Kavasi de Rabba, the Tani Kavasi de Rav Yosef. We have braises in support of both of them. A braise that sounds exactly like Rabba's Shita, and a braise that sounds like Rav Yosef's Shita. And we start off first with Rabba. Tani Kavasi de Rabba, we have a braise in support of Rabba. Hoy mahalik by midbar, if a person was traveling in the desert, and what happened? He had some chometz, and he has to get rid of it. It's now Erev Pesach, Yudali. He's traveling up to Yerushalayim, and he's going through the desert. So mifarer v'zorer l'ruach. You have to go and take the chometz that you have and break it up, crumble it up, and throw it to the wind. Now, that's when you're going in the desert. Hoya mahalek b'svina, the Braisa says, however, if you're traveling on a boat and you have chometz, you have to do the same thing. Mifarer u'matul ayam. Because Rabba's opinion is that when you're dealing with chometz in Shar Naharos, not worried about the Yam HaMelech, when nobody's traveling over there, but when you're dealing with Shar Naharos, you have to go do the same thing. Boy Pira, you also have to crumble it up. This Braisa is exactly like the Shita of Rav Yosef. In a moment we'll ask, what does Rav Yosef do with this Braisa? But first we bring the Braisa in support of Rav Yosef. Tanya Kavasi, Rav Yosef. This Braisa, it seems to be in accord with Rav Yosef's Shita. What does this Braisa say? Hoy Mahalach B'Midbar, if a person's traveling in the desert, and he has an Avodah Zarah that he has to go and destroy, what does he have to do with it? Shochek, he has to grind it up, V'zor L'ruch, and then he disperses it, he throws it in the wind. Hoy Mahalach B'Svila, but he's on a boat and he has his avodah zarah and he wants to get rid of it. Shochek, he has to grind it up, umatzel yam, and he has to grind it up and throw it into the yam. Exactly like Rabbi Yosef said, that even in the yam, you have to be concerned if it's be'ene, that somebody's going to find it. In a moment, we'll ask which yam is he talking about over here. First off, though, however, we have each of them has to explain the other one's brisa. So Rabba has to explain Rav Yosef's brisa, and Rav Yosef has to explain Rabba's brisa. So the Gemara says, question, shrika kashal Rabba. This brisa that Rav Yosef brought dealing with the shrika of the Avodah Zarah said you have to do it for both. So Rabba seemed to say that you don't have to do it for the Avodah Zarah. It's kasha and Rabba. And the brisa that Rabba brought down, which said you have to crush both of them, the chometz in the desert, in the wind, and also on the boat, in the river, so that's Pira, is Kashu of Yosef. He said, you don't have to go and do it. So how do we reconcile each one with the other one's Braisa? So Gemara says, first Rabba, Shrika l'Rabba lo Kasha. The Braisa that Rav Yosef brought down say that you have to grind up the Avodah Zarah, whether you're in the desert or whether you're in the Yam, is not a problem for Rabba. Why not? Because Rabba had made a distinction between the Yam and all other rivers. So that's how Rabba would answer this. The Braisa that Rav Yosef brought down is dealing with other rivers of the world. And I agree with you that those people, they're travelers on those other rivers, and therefore, you better crush it. But the Mishnah that we brought down from Avodah Zarah, which said that you don't have to crush it, that's what I said, that's talking about the Yam HaMelech. And that's the answer the Rabbi gives. Hol Yam HaMelech, the Mishnah that says you don't have to crush it because you're throwing in the Yam HaMelech and they're on boats traveling on the Yam HaMelech and nobody's going to find it even if it's intact. So that's when I said you don't have to crush it. However, you don't have to grind it up. Hol Ishar Naros, but the Braisa that Rav Yosef brought down over here, I agree. If you're throwing the Avodah Zarah into other rivers, you better crush it because the travelers on these other rivers are going to find a nice idol in the river and they're going to take it, and therefore, you're not destroying the Avodah Zarah. And likewise, Pira le Rav Yosef lo kasha. The brisa that the rabbi brought down is not a kasha for Rav Yosef. Why is that? Because they're different types of chametz. And the brisa that Rav Yosef brought down, that you have to go and crush and grind up the chametz, you have to go and crumble the chametz, even if you're dealing with the yam, so he says it depends what type of chametz you're talking about. Pira le Rav Yosef lo kasha, because ho b'chiti, the brisa that Rabbo had brought down, was dealing with chiti, which is wheat. And this cannot easily go and get dissolved, dissipated in the water. It's going to stay intact. So therefore, I would agree, Rav Yosef would say, that brisa that Rabbo brought down, when you're dealing with chiti, you better go and pirer it. You better go and grind it up or crush it, and then it will get destroyed. But when I said you don't have to do that, our Mishnah, which I'm explaining, that you only have to go and matalit liyamsuf, and you don't have to go and crush it, because our Mishnah is talking about bread, habinama, and bread will get dissolved no matter what. It's not going to stay intact, it's going to get all soggy, and it's going to crumble up into little pieces, and therefore, no kasha. So both Rabbah and Rav Yosef are okay, they have a brisa in support of them, they each have no problem with the other one's brisa, and the Gemara doesn't come to a conclusion as to what you need to do. Now we go to the next Mishnah. Next Mishnah tells us, Chometz shel nochri she'avel of a Pesach. Now we introduce Chometz after Pesach. So the Mishnah tells us that if it's owned by a goy, Chometz that a goy owned during Pesach, she'avel of a Pesach, so mutur b'hanor, there is no problem for you to get benefit from this after Pesach. Now, this is a classical situation when people sell the chametz to the guy. When people buy chametz from a guy after Pesach, so there is no problem. That's what the Tanna of our Mishnah says. However, the Shal Yisrael. But if it was a Yid who unfortunately owned chametz over Pesach, and now he has this same chametz after Pesach, so the Mishnah tells us it's also b'hanor. It is forbidden to get any benefit from this chametz. Never mind, you can't eat it. You're not even allowed to get benefit from it. Because the pasuk says, Shenemar, lo yirel chosor. You aren't supposed to have any sor, any chametz in your possession, and this includes chametz that was owned by a yid during Pesach, so that retains its issur status even after Pesach. Again, the Gemara will discuss tremendously these details. Now, Gemara starts off first and asks, Mani Masnisin, who is the author of Mishnah? Our Mishnah is not stated in the name of anybody, it's a Stam Mishnah. So our Gemara asks, whose opinion does our Mishnah in fact follow? Because it seems, the Gemara says, it doesn't follow any of the well-known opinions which we're going to bring down. Lo Rabbi Yehuda, Velo Rabbi Shimon, Velo Rabbi Yosef Glili. It doesn't seem to follow any of these three Tanoim. Now, where do these three Tanoim's opinions express? In the following Brisa. Now, this is a long Brisa. It's going to take up essentially most of the entire Shia, the rest of the Shia, and then at the very end, we'll finally get to the punchline. It doesn't seem to fit any of the opinions in our Mishnah. Now, Mahi, what exactly is this Brisa? The Tanya. These three opinions, Yehuda, Rav Shimon, and Rav Glili, are mentioned in this Brisa. It says first, the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Chometz, bein lifnei zmano, bein liachas zmano. If you have chometz, whether you're dealing with before the zman of the Isser Kares, which we'll see how we explain this according to Rabbi Yehuda, during the period of time from Chatzos on Yudalit until the Shkia, so when it's only a lav, as we'll see, so that's called bein lifnei zmano, and where he says, bein liachas zmano, after Pesach is over, nevertheless, over olo b'lav, there is a lav in the Torah, to have any benefit from chametz during that period of time. You're not allowed to eat it, you're not allowed to get benefit from it. And that is true from Chatzos until Shkia, and then after Pesach, forever, you're not allowed to get hanoah from chametz she'avel lovas haPesach. Tosmano, during the actual days of Pesach, from the start of Pesach until the end of Pesach, not only is it wrong to own it or to eat it, but it's a much stricter level of iser. Overlov b'lav v'kores. This is a lav. It's an old saseh in the Torah, and this is a very strict one. You get kores if you own or get a benefit from chametz on Pesach. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. This is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Now we turn to the Amud Beis. Now we introduce the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon disagrees. Rabbi Shimon Omer, chametz lifnei zmano liachar zmano. He says in that time period from chatzos after the sixth hour up until the Shkia, and in the time period after Pesach, lifnei zmano liachar zmano, he says, it's not a lav in the Torah. Ain't over lo b'lo klum. You're not over. Now, first, the gear said he says is lo klum, and that seems to imply it's not an issur d'oraisa, and it's not even an issur d'rabbanan. Tosos, on the other hand, in the top Tosos, and there's some Rishonim that hold like that, but Tosos, in the top Tosos over here, says, Nira, the Rabbi Shimon, Nihi, the ain't over lo b'lav. It appears that Rabbi Shimon's opinion, according to Tosos, is that while you're not over alive in the Torah, the chometz lifnei zmano modhu di osur biachila mishei shos lamala. Nevertheless, Rabbi Shimon is moda that it's osur mid the rabbanon from the sixth hour and onwards. And he brings a raya from the first parak, Daf Yudalit, which says, Ein sofrim truma tahora im hatmeya. Well, we learned over there that you're not allowed to go burn the truma tahora and the truma tahora together, the start of Rechnin Eskana Kalun. Hakohanim, that famous sugya. So it's mashma ha levada sarfid b'sheish. It implies that by itself you go have to burn it in sheish. Now the muteris lechol, if you're allowed to eat it, yochlenu adalayla. Then if there was no isser in eating it, then you should be able to eat this truma. You shouldn't be able to go and destroy this truma Torah. You may not be able to eat it, he brings down later on, but you should certainly be able to get hanah from it. He says, so burn it underneath your food, a little bit each moment, rather than going and destroying it all at once. Yasikenu ahalayla mat mat tachas tavshila. So Tosus answers, Yishlamar de gazrin and shema yochlu yochlenu. The reason why you destroy it all at once is because you may come to eat it. But the bottom line is, it's not a lav doraisa. Now back to the braisa, back to the Gemara, the braisa continues and says, umishah shasa bachila, at the moment that it becomes asa to eat it, which is from noon, so then asa bano, then it's also forbidden to get hana from it. Now this obviously is not Rabbi Shimon. We just said that Rabbi Shimon says you can get hana from it during that period of time. And it's only exaggerated that we can say to get rid of your truma tahora because you may come to eat it by accident. So the Gemara says, you're right. This statement, that goes back and reflects the viewpoint of Rabbi Yehuda. Finally, we have Rabbi Yehuda, we have Rabbi Shimon, and now we have the third opinion in the Braisa, Rabbi Yosef Glili. Rabbi Yosef Glili Omer, he says, what are you talking about? Tomei al atzucha, I'm shocked that both of you say what you're saying. You're telling me that there's an issa of hana before Pesach starts from Chatzos until Shkia, and you're telling me there's an issa after Pesach. I don't even think there's an issa of hana on Pesach. I don't say that it's also to get hana from chametz. It's all Pesach long. You just can't eat it. Who says you can't get hana from it? This is a very unusual shita. We had the shita in the first parak as well, and this is the shita of Rav Yosi HaGlili. Certainly not la locha. Now the Gemara says, "Uminayin liochel chametz mishe shos l'malo, shehu over below saseh." How do we know that according to Rabbi Yehuda, during the period of time from Chatzos after the 6 hours of the day have started until the shkia, until nightfall, that in fact you're over a lo saseh? So he brings down the pasuk, "Shenemar lo sochal olov chametz." The pasuk tells us, don't eat chametz. Now, when is it talking about? So the previous pasuk was talking about the chiyuv to go and shech the korban Pesach. So Yehuda says, the previous pasuk is talking about the time that you shech the korban Pesach. So this pasuk that says, shenema lo sochal olav chametz, is during the time that you shech in the korban Pesach, which is the second half of the day of Yudalit, from Chatzos until the Shkia. So during that time, when you're shecht in the korban Pesach, we'll learn about that in Yitzhak Shem, much later in the Masechta, in the middle prakim of the Masechta, when it deals with halachas of Korban Pesach, so during the period of time when you're dal in the afternoon, when you're shechting the Korban Pesach, at that point, the pasuk says, Shenema lo sochal olav chametz. Don't eat chametz when you're shechting the Korban Pesach. So from the start of the seventh hour, after Chatzos, until the time of Shkia, which is when you're no longer able to shech the Korban Pesach, you're supposed to shech it during the daytime, so during that period of time, lo sochal olav chametz, when you have the obligation to go shech the Korban Pesach, you're not allowed to have chametz in your possession. That's where he gets the lav. That's where Yehuda learns this out. On the other hand, Amalor Rishima says, no, I disagree with you. Can you really say that it's talking about the time that you're supposed to shech the Korban Pesach? V'lo kvar ne'amar, lo sochal olav chametz, shivas yomim tochal olav matzos. Keep on reading. It says that you're supposed to not eat chametz, and you're supposed to eat matzah. So Rabbi Shimon says, this pasuk is telling us not to darshan it like you at the time that you're shechting the Korban Pesach, but it means at the time that you're eating the Korban Pesach. So therefore, it says, imkein ma tamud lomar lo sochal olav chametz. So then why does it say, like you're saying, don't eat the chametz? I already know that I have to eat matzah. So it comes to tell me, b'shosh yeshno bekum echo matzah, at the time that you have the mitzvah to eat matzah, at that point in time, yeshno beval tochal chametz, when you have an obligation to eat matzah on Pesach, so at that time you also have a issa to eat chametz. However, b'shosh eino bekum echo matzah, but when there is no mitzvah to eat matzah, you're not eating matzah, never mind, no mitzvah to eat matzah on Erev Pesach from Chatzos until Shkia, eino beval tochal chametz, there is no prohibition at that point in time to go and have chametz. So this is a fundamental machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, how to understand the pasuk lo sochal olav chametz. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it means during the time of the shechita, and according to Rabbi Shimon, it means during the time of the eating of the korban Pesach, and at the time that you're mechuyev to have matzah, which means on Pesach, but not before Pesach. Gemara now wants to understand this better and says, my time of the Yehuda, what is the rationale behind Rav Yehuda saying that it means during the time of the Shechitas Pesach? So he says, there are three psukim that we have telling us not to eat chometz. The first one says, lo ye'ochel chometz. This is the first of three psukim that Rabbi Yehuda brings down. This pasuk has no mention of the Korban Pesach next to it. It has no mention of eating matzah next to it. And this pasuk is going to tell us the baseline issa of eating chametz and owning chametz, having possession of chametz on Pesach. Lo yeochel chametz. The second pasuk says, v'chol machmetzus lo sochelu. This is the one to tell us, v'chad li'achar's mano. This will tell us that you can't have chametz after Pesach. And lo sochel lo chametz, that's coming to teach us that you can't have chametz before the Zman, during the Chatzos Tushkia period on Yudalit. So, according to Rav Yehuda, you have three psukim over here. Again, you have the pasuk lo ye'ochel chometz, you have the pasuk chol machmetzes lo sochelu, and then you have the pasuk lo sochel olav chometz. And one is to teach us chad lefnei zmano, chad li'achar zmano, chad l'soch zmano, albeit not in the order that I just said, the order that the Gemara gave it, but as I explained it. So those are three psukim. That tells me before, during, and after Pesach. Ah, Rav Yehuda is very good. What does Rav Shimon do with these psukim? So Rav Shimon says, no, chad l'toch zmano, I agree. You need one pasuk to go and tell me that you're not allowed to have chametz on Pesach. And he derives that from the pasuk, lo sochel olav chametz. What did he do with the other two psukim? So he says, you need, Rav Shimon says, chad l'toch zmano, that's lo yeochel chametz you need for telling me the iser on Pesach itself. And then you need the pasuk, v'chol machmetzves lo sochelu, you need that, mi boy le'lechitanya. I need it for the following drasha, which it says, chametz, Pasuk says, don't eat chametz, ain't liela shenitz chametz me'elav. That only means chametz that on its own it became chametz, nitz chametz me'elav, without you doing something to it. Machmas dover acher, but if you added something to it to make it chametz, you added sor to this bread to make it chametz, minayin, how do we know that that's also an iser? Tomorrow says, tamalomer, call machmetz v'slo sochelu. You're not allowed to have any type of chametz, whether it became chametz on its own or you did something to it to make it chametz. And finally, the last pasuk, lo yeyochel chometz. What does he do with that pasuk? He says, you need that for a separate drush. You need it for the drush of the following brisa. The brisa says, Rav Yosef Galili Omer, Rav Yosef Galili tells us, minayin lepesach mitzrayim. How do we know that the Pesach that they ate in Mitzrayim, she'ein chimutzo noeg el yom echad, that there the only prohibition of eating chometz was the day that that Pesach was eaten. She'ein chimutzo noeg el yom echad, only one day of chametz that year, not 7 days. So it's based upon this pasuk, Talmud Lomar, lo yeochel chametz. It means, you're not allowed to eat chametz, and right next to it, usamich lei hayom atem yotzim. Today, you're leaving Mitzrayim. So the connection, the hekish between these two psukim, lo yeochel chametz, when? On hayom atem yotzim. And therefore, that's what Rabbi Shimon does with these three psukim. But he doesn't have an extra pasuk to tell me, lifnei Pesach, lifnei zmano. He doesn't have a pasuk to tell me, achar zmano. Not a word is going to ask. The Rabbi Shimon taught us two new drashos. He taught us that even if it's nischametz me'elov or nischametz from something else, from dover acher, is the chiyuv over here of it being chametz. Where does Rabbi Yehuda learn this out? He doesn't have the free pasuk. And likewise, where does Rabbi Yehuda learn out the drasha from Rabbi Yosi Aglili that says that the Pesach Mitzrayim was only also for one day? So that's what the Gemara now asks. Rabbi Yehuda, how does he learn these dinim out? So, machmas dover acher minole. How does he know the first thing that chametz is not only if it's nischametz me'elov, but even if it's machmas dover acher, that it's an iser? So he says, he learns it out from the following. Midaavke rachmona beloshu machmetzes. Look at the language that the Torah used. It says machmetzes. Now, machmetzes, he says, implies that it means any way that it became chametz. Machmetzes implies even a taruvis, even if it is a mixture of something that became chametz via something else. So even if something else made it chametz, that's already included in the words kol machmetzes lo sochelu, and therefore I'm left to darshan this pasuk is the way I said to darshan it even chametz achar zmano. The second drasha, Rav Yosef Aglili's drasha, where does Rav Yehuda learn that one out? The Rav Yosef Aglili, minolei. So we have two answers for this. The first one is ibayi same, or you could say midesomach lehayom. He agrees from the hekish. So the hekish itself does it, but it leaves the pasuk still itself to be darshan. So it's from this hekish that he agrees to Rav Yosef Aglili, and therefore there's no need for a separate pasuk of lo yeochel chametz. It's the hekish that does it. And therefore the pasuk lo yeochel chametz is free to go and teach us his din of you're not allowed to have chametz on Pesach itself. Alternatively, the Gemara says, Ibai Seima, this is what we call smuchin. This hakish over here is this juxtaposition of one pasuk next to another pasuk is called smuchin. And we know the famous shita of Rabbi Yehuda is that he's only darshening smuchin in Mishneh Torah in Sefer Devarim and not in the first four Svarim of the Torah. Smuchin lo darish, and since this is from Sefer Shemos, so therefore he doesn't darish it. He disagrees with Rav Siglili. He says, who says in Pesach Mitzrayim there's only also 1 day? There was also also for 7 days. Now we're going to repeat a lot of the argument that we just had with an Omar Mar. Omar Mar, again, often the Gemara repeats a specific focus on what we just discussed, and we'll analyze it again. So Omar Mar, we're going to repeat now. How do we know, review the sheet that it says from noon until the Shkia, the afternoon of Yadalid, Rav Yehuda says that there is an Isser of Lo Sase, a lav in the Torah, not Kares, but a lav in the Torah that says you can't have Chomets in your possession then. She says, Shenema, Lo Sochal, Olav Chomets. We said, Olav meant the Karban Pesach. At the time of the Shechita, you're not allowed to have Chomets in your possession. That was the drasha, Divrei Rav Yehuda. And we said, Amar Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon said, no, I disagree with you. B'chiev Shalom Akein, how can you possibly say that? After all, the Pesukim tell us, Lo Kvar Nemar, Lo Sochal Lov Chometz, when? Shivas Yomim Tochal Lov Matzos. That when you have the mitzvah of eating matzah, then you don't eat chometz. But if you don't have the mitzvah to eat matzah, i.e. on Erev Pesach, on Yudalad, there is no mitzvah to eat matzah. In fact, it's also to eat matzah then. So then, you don't have any iser of having chometz in your possession. So this is the machokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Where it says, nu, what does Rabbi Yehuda do with Rabbi Shimon's argument? Now, Rabbi Yehuda, Shapir Kamali Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon seems to make very good sense. So what does Rabbi Yehuda do with that argument? Rabbi Yehuda has a good answer. Rabbi Yehuda Omar Loch, he tells you, no problem. How l'kovo chovo afilu bisman hazeh hudiyasa. That pasuk is coming to tell us that Nebuch, when we don't have the Korban Pesach nowadays, Baba Seinu Rabbin, we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, we can't bring the Korban Pesach. So nevertheless, we have a mitzvah to go eat matzah. That's what you need the pasuk for, to tell me that even if you don't have a Korban Pesach, you have to go and eat chametz. Afilu bisman hazeh. Even nowadays, you have this mitzvah of eating matzah. That's what he uses the pasuk for. No, that's a good taina. Rabbi Shimon, what does he do with that? How does he learn out that nowadays, when we don't have, never have the Beis HaMikdash, we don't have the Korban Pesach, that we have, in fact, a chova to eat matzah? L'chova chova minole. Where does he learn it out from? So he says, Nafkale mi bo erev tochlu. It says, you shall eat matzos that night. Now we already know, this is an extra pasuk. We already know you're supposed to eat matzos when you have the Korban Pesach. So this extra pasuk comes to tell me, even if you don't have the Korban Pesach, bo erev tochlu. Now this is such a good answer. Mor says, nu, Rabbi Yehuda, what does he do with this pasuk? So he says, you need to teach me a person who's tame, or a person who's on a distant road. In other words, he's not in Yerushalayim, even in the times of the Beis HaMikdash. So a tame person can't eat the Korban Pesach. A person who's not in Yerushalayim can't eat the Korban Pesach. And I need this pasuk to tell me that even when you're not in Yerushalayim, or when you're tame and you can't eat the Korban Pesach, you still have a mitzvah to eat matzah. You're in Haifa and you're tame, so you still have a mitzvah to eat matzah, even though you're not eating the Korban Pesach. So, because I might have thought, since I can't eat the Korban Pesach, so maybe that's it. I don't have any mitzvahs of the night. I don't have matzah or morar. Kamash v'lan, that you in fact do have the mitzvah of matzah. On a deraisa level, you still have mitzvah of matzah. Morar, we only eat today midirabbanon. Morar, we don't have a pasuk for. So therefore, the morar is only mitzvah derabbanon if you don't have the actual Korban Pesach. So, Rabbi Yehuda, he uses this pasuk, but Erev Tochlu, to teach me that the Tomei person, the person with Derech HaChokah, still has an obligation to eat matzah, even though he's not eating the Korban Pesach. No, this is a very good answer, Rabbi Shimon. What does he do with this answer? How does he learn out that a Tomei person or a person with Derech HaChokah has an obligation to eat matzah, even though he's not eating the Korban Pesach? Rabbi Shimon, Tomei v'shoi b'derech HaChokah, lo itzrich k'roi. He says you don't need a pasuk for those. Why not? Because he says they're no worse, they're exactly the same din as an Orel or a Ben Nechor. The low gara may orel or ben nechor. They're no different than a person who hasn't had a bris milah. Sometimes a person is also to have a bris milah. Nebuch, so two older brothers died, so then it's also him to have a bris milah. He has some sort of a bleeding disorder, so you can't do a bris milah or a ben nechor. A person Nebuch is totally off the derech. He doesn't believe in the Torah at all. He doesn't believe in any of the mitzvahs. So he's a stranger. He's a ben nechor. So the pasuk tells the ben nechor lo socha. You're not allowed to go and eat it. As the pasuk says, they'll say v'chol orel lo yochah bo, and ben nechor is not allowed to eat from it. So just like bo, they're not allowed to eat from the Korban Pesach. The Gemara says bo who ain't ochel, aval ochelu b'matzah b'morah, but they still have an obligation to eat matzah and moror. So therefore, the person who Nebuch hasn't had a bris milah, so he has a mitzvah to go eat matzah and moror still, even though he can't eat from the Korban Pesach. So Rabbi Shimon says, just like the Orel and the Bnei Ichor have a mitzvah to eat matzah, so too, there's a person who's Tomei, over there, Chachoka, have a mitzvah to go and eat matzah. I don't need a separate pasuk, and therefore I'm free to darshan the pasuk, as I said. No, this is a good taina. What does Rabbi Yehuda do with this taina? Rabbi Yehuda, ksiv b'hai, ksiv b'hai. He says, no, we have a separate pasuk telling me that the person was tami of derech hachokah, and I have a separate pasuk that tells me the Orel and the Beinechar, each of them will need a separate pasuk to go and tell me this din. That's a simple way to understand it, that there's a reason why you need a separate pasuk for each one. Others say, no, the Torah, so to say, troubled itself to go and tell us by both of these situations, even though it technically didn't have to. That's the end of this brisa and the discussion on this brisa. We now have the three shitos over here, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Yosef Glili. And now we go back to our original question that we asked at the start of this Gemara, whose opinion, which one of these three Tanoic shitas does our Mishnah hold like? It doesn't seem to hold like any of them. They're the only three shitas that we know. Our Mishnah said, the Chomet Shavuos of Pesach, so if it was owned by a Goy, no problem. But if it's owned by Yid, it's a problem. Now, money must decent. Rav Yehuda, if you want to tell me, Gemara says that our Mishnah is actually the opinion of Rav Yehuda, who says that it's an issur to have Chomets before and after Pesach, as well as during Pesach. So Chomet Stomach Kamar. He doesn't question or state which type of Chomets. He says there's no Chomets that's permissible after Pesach. Any Chomet Shavuos of Pesach is also. Even a goy's chametz is also after Pesach. No chametz that went through Pesach is allowed to be eaten or get hanah from after Pesach. Chametz stomach kamar. Afilu denochri. Ah, so it can't be Rabbi Yehuda. Nuvi, Rabbi Shimon, if you're going to tell me that our Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon, he says that there's only an issur chametz on Pesach itself, but there's no lab before or after Pesach. So then, the Yisrael Nami, Mishra Koshar, we turn to the Omer Aleph, so then a Yid, according to Rabbi Shimon, should also be permitted after Pesach, because he says there's no Isser in Chomets after Pesach. So even a Yitz Chomets after Pesach should be good. Why did our Mishnah say a Yitz Chomets is no good after Pesach? Certainly. If you can tell me Rabbi Yosef Glili, he says certainly there's no Isser of Chomets after Pesach. He says there's no Isser of getting Hanah from Chomets during Pesach. Avilu Tosman or Nami Mishra Koshari B'Hanah. So again, our Mishnah doesn't seem to go like either Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, or Rabbi Yosef Glili. Those are the only three shitas that we know. And therefore, Kasha, who is our Mishnah like? So we're going to give us two terutzim, which we'll stop with today. We'll learn these two terutzim, and then we'll leave the rest for tomorrow. Amar Ravacha Bar Yaakov, Leolam Ravacha Bar Yaakov says that actually our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah fits in with Rabbi Yehuda. V'yoliv sor d'achila misor d'riya. From the fact that the pasuk tells me that I'm not allowed to have Re'ia of Chametz, so that teaches me that I'm not allowed to have Achila of Chametz, of the Sa'or, that's the super Chametz. So, Ma'asor, the Re'ia, just like Sa'or by Re'ia, it tells us, Shelucha Yatoroa, you're only not allowed to see your own Chametz, over by your Yomotze, with your own Chametz. However, Abul Atoroa, Shelachay, Shelgavoa, that was learned previously in the first parak, that you are allowed to see and have in your possession Chametz that you're not responsible for, that belongs to other people, or that belongs to Hekdish. So he says the same thing applies by Achila. Asor de Achila, after Pesach. Shelucha Yatoroa, you're not allowed to eat your own Chametz after Pesach. Never have you owned it during Pesach. But you are allowed to eat the chametz that belonged to somebody else who was allowed to have it, such as a nachri or shel gavoa. Ubedinu di boile lemisna, and in fact, it should have said dafilu ba'achila nami shari. Technically, according to Rabbi Shimon, since you're allowed to see the chametz, it's not over by your Rabbi Yomotze, technically, you could actually go and eat the Nachri's Chomets after Pesach. It's not just as Mutubah Noah. But Dinhu, the Yvoy Lele Mister, could have said, Dafilu Bachila Nami Shari. So why does it use the Lashon of Hanah? Because I did the Ton of the Yisrael also by Noah, since it's going to tell us that the Yisrael is not only also to eat, but it's even also by Noah. So it says here also, Ton of Nami, the Nachri Mutubah Noah. It tells us the Nachri's Chomets is Mutubah Noah. Now, some suggest that it didn't want to use the term eating the Nachri's Chomets, because some people are Makbit on not eating the Pas Akum. Okay. In any event, Ubadinu, it could have said over here, the boy little mister could have said, Dafilu besogsmano mutter behano. That's the gear. So we have some delete the word behano. But in any event, that's what it could have said. The I did the ton of the Israel liachasmano, so ton of nami denochu liachasmano. So that's why it tells us after this man that it's mutter behano, because technically, it could have said even during this month that you get allowed to get hanor from the Nochri's Chametz, but since we're talking about after Pesach, I did the ton of the Yisrael after Pesach, Lachzmano, so therefore it only tells us it did by the Nochri after Pesach. But technically, according to Rabbi Shimon, you could actually get hanor from the Nochri's Chametz on Pesach itself. A simple understanding of Rashi would seem to suggest that you actually not only can get hanor from the Chametz of the Nochri on Pesach, but you might even be able to eat the Chametz of a Nochri on Pesach. But Tosu says this can't be correct, and he says that. And of course, Lamaisa, we follow this opinion that you're not allowed to have any chometz in your possession, even the Nachri's chometz, if you take it into your possession, so then it's also to have it and certainly not to eat it. That's teretz number one. Teretz number two, Rav Amar Le'olam Rabbi Shimon. the Rava says that the opinion of our Mishnah is actually Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon knas or kindness. He says the whole idea over here, Rabbi Shimon, is a knas. That technically the yid's chametz would be permissible after Pesach. There isn't the problem. However, hov avar leib b'bayimar b'bayimatzi. But since the yid inappropriately owned it during Pesach, so we make a knas over here, and it's an issa derabbanon, and this is the halacha l'maisa that it's a knas that we don't allow chametz shavalas of Pesach to be held. And again, any hanor from after Pesach. That's why you can't buy some other yid's chametz, even though you're not doing anything wrong. He did something wrong, and it's a knas. So the rabbis made it not only also b'achila, but even also b'hanor. So these are the two terutzim that we give today. And in Yitzhak Shem, we'll continue this discussion in the Gemara about these terutzim tomorrow. With this, we conclude today's shir.